There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Curious Conversations with Tully and Sarah. We sit down and chat with business owners, entrepreneurs, and some of the best conversation starters. This is a podcast about real life lessons and people doing cool shit. What's up? Happy Wednesday.
What's good, Tully Louise?
Not much. We're just back for another week of Curious Conversations.
I know. We had a little three-week hiatus there.
Yes, we did. So we're kind of in between seasons at the moment. And
then old mate me got my first bout of COVID.
So it's wild. I've had COVID twice. Sarah, for 2.5 years, nearly three.
Yep.
Has not had COVID
I once. Thought I was dying.
Okay, that's a bit dramatic, but like, no. You thought you're invincible.
Yeah, I did.
And Sarah got smacked with the vid.
Like the day after my birthday, it was like, here's a present for you, a whopping headache. I was like, oh no, I'm fine. Tully's like,
I'm like, you have COVID. I'm like, that headache is like, if anyone has had COVID that is listening, you know the headache. And now you know.
I know
the
now.
The headache is horrendous.
And I've got brain fog.
Yeah, I do. So Sarah's like, it takes a few weeks to feel normal. Yeah, again. It does. It absolutely wipes you. But just make sure you're taking the vitamin C, the zinc, and what else do we take? Vitamin C, zinc,
vitamin D.
Yeah. Bioceuticals is amazing. Yep. And I usually just stock up at Chem's Warehouse on those little things.
But we are back and we're back with a cracking episode.
Yes. So we have the amazing Ella from MAFS.
Yes.
So super excited to have her on. She's just finished filming a few months ago. I think they finished filming last year.
January, she said.
They had their reunion in January and it finished airing in April.
You know Ella.
Yes. So I knew Ella previously because I used to go to the Skin Boutique in Elwood.
Yep.
And she worked there. So she was a beautician there. I don't know if that's what they're called, beauticians. And so I met Ella years ago and I always thought she was so sweet and so lovely. And when I saw her on MAFS, I was like, hang on, I know that girl. Mm. And I saw her post on social media that she was going on MAFS and I was like, damn, I think I'm going to watch MAFS this season.
Yep.
So, she was on the podcast and I literally think we could have spoken to her for hours.
But we did. We, for about 40 minutes before the episode, we were just sitting and chatting and we're like, should we record this? But like, it was for me personally, it was really nice to get to know her because she's such a fucking legend.
She was such a legend. So, Ella talks about pre-MAFS, MAFS, talks about her journey. Mm-hmm. I think I said this in the podcast. She's kind of like a reborn version of herself. And I loved some of the tips she gave us on just self-care.
Gave me some dating advice, which I needed.
Yeah, she did. So she's a cracker and I think we should just get straight in. Oh, and also we did a little taste challenge at the end of the podcast and that is on our TikTok and I'll put it on my reels. And that we just did that for a little added extra fun.
It was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't the one eating two of those things. But we hope you like this episode.
Don't forget to
like, subscribe.
And share with all your friends. Also, Ella has a podcast, which is with her best mate, Dom, which is like you and me.
Yeah. They're literally a version of Tully and Sarah.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's called Sit With Us, the Sit With Us pod. We'll also put a link below. You know, even though they have a podcast, you and I are all about sharing and caring and it's not a competitive space.
No.
And it's actually a really funny podcast too. So make sure you listen to that.
Enjoy.
Ciao. What's up? Hi, Ella.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm excited to be here.
Oh, we're so excited to have you on. I have to admit, so you've been here for a little while. We've been gasbagging for the last 30 minutes.
I think it's longer than that.
It's like about time we turned on the podcast and started recording. But we're so excited to have you.
Yay.
Ella, you know me now from the previous conversation. Yes. I don't know many people. I know you. Okay. I know you.
Oh, thank you.
But who was Ella before MAFS?
Who was Ella before MAFS? Okay. I was a skin and laser tech. Well, actually, I was kind of both. I was a skin and laser tech and a consultant for property investment.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So I left the skin boutique during lockdown.
Yeah.
Because I just was like, we might go back into lockdown.
Yeah.
And I can't rely on JobKeeper or inconsistent income. So I had to leave, which was really sad.
Yeah.
But Jess was like so understanding and she got it. And then I went and started helping my brother's best mate's business, PGA Advisory. So I worked there for about 6 months. So we were doing like working from home and in the office. It was like COVID friendly. Mm. So yeah, I was just doing that. It was really good money. I'm really great in sales. Like that's my background, like pre-maths, pre-beauty. I had a call center with my brother for about 3 or 4 years.
You had a call center?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, so random. Like when
How does one set up? Call center, I wouldn't even know.
Yeah, it was, well, James and I, it was my brother's idea. I think I was like 19 at the time.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I wasn't going to uni. He was like, I have this idea, you know, what are you doing? I was like, nothing. I'm just working like for the Guide Dogs Australia, you know, like I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then we started dialing, like we bought data and, you know, got the business registered and stuff. And we started dialing from our home in the kitchen.
Wow.
Like cold calling. Yeah. And we were in the online education industry. So I'm pretty sure it's like illegal now. Like what we did, I'm pretty sure is like there's it's a bit sketchy.
Okay, yeah.
People like
what
ruined
is it?
It
do,
for
you,
us.
Do you sell education or
yeah,
something?
Yeah. So we partnered up with like universities across Australia.
Oh,
and
wow.
then I went and like did career advising and like I was educating or helping out kids who either didn't have like a uni degree, who didn't know what they want to do, if they didn't have a year 12 finish and they wanted to go to uni. Like we kind of just advise people on like what they wanted to do.
Yeah. That's kind of beautiful. So yeah. you're like helping. And you're like, a career coach kind
yeah.
of
yeah. And yeah. like we'd hopefully have a certificate or like a diploma or whatever, you know, we had to offer something that they would want to do.
Yeah.
And obviously we worked with the government. So we did like vet fee help.
Oh, wow.
So that they could, yeah.
I didn't know any of that because obviously I met you, I go to the skin boutique and yeah. I met you a few years ago. I did not know any
I know.
Of that.
Super random. So, and then I moved to the Philippines and I opened a call center there by
Shut
myself.
Shut up. How many
yeah,
people
I
did
was
you
like
have in
20,
the call
maybe
center?
19. In Australia, we had maybe like 40 people in total.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did you transition from doing that into like skin?
Yeah. So I moved to the Philippines by myself. So I did that for about 4 months, which was amazing. And then I came home and I was like, I think I need to go on a holiday.
Yeah.
And I was like 21. I went to Europe for about 3 months with the girls. I came back and I was like, this is not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. This is my brother's dream. You know, it's been amazing, crazy experience doing it all so young. And then I was like, what do I actually want to do?
Mm.
I know that I like helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm great like on the phones with communicating. Like my conversation, my communication skills are like
you're a great talker.
Really
too,
good
yeah.
from that job.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I really like makeup. I have like bad skin. I was always intrigued by my skin. And then one of my girlfriends, I think, just said, like, beauty. What about beauty?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is even in that? Like, what do you even learn? Like, where does that even take you?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Ellie Lucas. I had to decide pretty quick because I was the last group that could get, like, vet fee help cover because I'm pretty sure they changed all the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the year after me, it was like you could only get, like, 10,000 covered and the rest you had to pay up front.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was, like, a lot because
yeah.
I think the course was like 40 grand.
Shit.
So all these young kids, like their parents, you know, couldn't pay for them to go. Yeah, hectic.
Wow.
I think it might have changed now.
Yeah.
But I actually don't know. But that's why I had to make the decision really quickly. Then I went to Ellie Lucas, did that for like 18 months full time. And then I got a job at Skin Essentials, which was like a little beauty bar in Elwood with like waxing, spray tans and like makeup. So I was there for a few years and I was doing like spray tanning from home. I started doing lash lifts and stuff like the fluffy stuff from
yeah,
home,
yeah.
which was really fun. And then I moved to Skin Boutique and then, yeah, that's – then it just – I don't know. Like it just sort of – I had to go back to sales though, which was really sad. Like
yeah.
when I left Skin, I was like, what am I good at?
Mm.
You know, what do I know? I know how to understand people over the phone because I feel like that's a real skill.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
You know, like – some people are better at doing it in person when you're like in person, but I feel like I can do it with anyone on the phone.
Mm, yeah.
Mm. So I just went back and did that. And
wow.
then maths happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's so much to unpack. You're
there
like
is.
Such a little entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So young. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. It's a pretty weird, I've had a pretty weird, crazy journey.
I don't think weird or crazy. I just feel like you're very wise.
Mm.
But do you feel like now that you have more of a sense of direction of what you want to do and where you want to go?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
you've tested everything out.
I feel like I have.
Yeah.
I feel like I've tried a lot of things and I do really know like where I want to put all of that skill.
Mm, yeah.
And how, you know, but it's still like trial and error.
Yeah. I know it's going to exactly like us because we've got a few businesses and they're all about helping people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's so rewarding.
Yeah.
Like even I was having this conversation with one of my friends the other day. Like I miss treating clients.
Mm.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm 100%.
Yeah.
I miss like having my one-on-one time with my clients and like, you know, we would always talk about dating and relationships in those rooms because majority of the women in Elwood are like successful and single, which is bizarre.
Yeah.
But like we'd always talk about real shit in the rooms, like real stuff.
Mm.
And then, you know, they would feel amazing after the session, whether it's feeling lighter because of what they've spoken about or because of their skin. So like I do miss that.
Element.
Yeah. I do. I miss that side of work.
I feel like, so all that stuff that you've kind of gone through, I feel like you really know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, which
I
is
think
good.
So. Yeah. I think so. I like to say that, like, I'm, pretty self-aware.
Yeah. That whole time, what your relationship status, were you by yourself that time?
Whole time.
Majority?
Whole time.
You were, wow.
I had a boyfriend in high school.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And then I had two boyfriends in high school. So I was like 16 to 17 with one and then 18 to 19.
Very similar to my journey. Like my whole business career journey, I've been single.
Yeah.
Dating, but single.
Dating, but like no boyfriend.
No. But I think it's a good thing because it's like there's some elements of your life that you're talking about. I'm like, oh, it kind of sounds like my, like I've done so many things.
Yeah.
But, and I've been single and I feel like you just get to know yourself.
You do. And I always think that I'm like, I look at, you know, some of my friends who are in relationships who haven't really tried or changed much in their life. And I feel like I've had so many different career changes and like experiences. Mm. If I was in a relationship, I may not have had any of them.
It's true.
And it's just me that's deciding for me, you know,
which
like
is amazing.
It is. It is amazing. I think it's really cool. And that's the positive of being single when you are young.
100%.
What's the negative of being single?
Well, like, I guess it like depends what you want.
Yeah.
It depends like what you really want. Like I've always been chasing a boyfriend. Like I've always been, even though I've been busy doing all those things, I'm always finding dates, finding men, hoping that they'll like me.
Yeah.
And, you know, going on dates with hope that it would be something and liking all these guys, but it's just never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now that I'm getting older, like it is becoming a bit more scary.
Mm-hmm.
And after all the years of dating, you can't help but think, is it me?
Yeah.
And that's like why I did put myself out there for maths because I was like, you know what? Like whether they're experts or not, I'm going to learn even more about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've never lived with a guy before. Mm-hmm. Mitchell was the first guy I've ever done all that with.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like even doing grocery shopping.
Yeah. Oh my God, you did it on like national TV.
Yeah.
Like you literally put yourself in like the most uncomfortable position ever.
Yeah.
Did you find it frustrating? Like, say in the apartment, you put glasses somewhere and then he put it somewhere else.
We honestly, like we glued.
That's great.
We had no issues living together.
Yeah.
From the first night. We never had an issue.
Wow.
Ever.
Yeah.
So, okay, because that was one of my questions.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, like, when was the decision? Was it during COVID that you were like, I'm going to audition for maths?
Yeah.
Or did someone approach you? Like, how did that come about?
So, well, the last guy I was dating, who was the older guy, I was with him for about 5 months.
Okay.
And then that ended. It was COVID. And I was like, fuck, I actually thought like he was going to be
it.
Mm-hmm. It. Like, you know, I was falling in love with him. First guy I've ever met in my whole life that connected on all the levels as well. Like it was amazing. It was, and I still today, I'm like, he's the best. Like we're still mates.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And then that ended. And one of my girlfriends was like, what about maths? And I was like, God, no, like definitely not a chance. But let's see what the application is, you know, like let's actually see what that looks like. And so we opened it up. I think I only filled out about 7 of 50 questions.
Did you?
Yeah, like I didn't even get to the video part, the photo part. Like I filled out, I reckon about 7 or 8 questions. And then I saved it and I was like, nah, I'm not. This is just too much. Like, I don't think I'm ready for this. So I just closed my laptop, went back to work, like forgot about it, decided I wasn't going to do it. And then a month later, they called me.
No way.
Yeah. They were like, hey, like, we found your application. Like, are you still single? And I was like, yes. Thanks for reminding me.
Like, I didn't finish it.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm still single. Yeah. And then they were like, oh, like, you know, why didn't you finish it? And I was like, I just decided this isn't probably like what I'm ready for or prepared to do.
Yeah.
And then they sort of just got me in. Like, they kind of just made me
curious.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, it's an experience. And then as soon as I got that call being like, okay, like when you start to do blood tests on the show, that's when you know that you're in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I'm booking like appointments with like psychs, you know, mm-hmm. like you got to do a lot of testing before the show. Yeah. It's like not just like you get in.
Mm. Yeah.
And then when I started to accept the fact I was going to go on MAFS, I started really manifesting my experience. Like,
oh wow,
your husband who you wanted to be part of,
and also how you want to be produced as well.
Yeah, actually, I didn't think it. I not once ever thought about my edit.
Really? Wow. See, that would be the first thing that I would stress about.
No, like that, I never. Even to this day, when the show was just about to air, I wasn't even anxious.
Did
about,
it cross your mind then?
No,
yeah, but you're also not an asshole. Like,
because I was just going to be me. Like, yeah. I had nothing to be scared of that people were going to see because yeah. I was just me. Like, yeah. and if people were mad about it, then fuck, that's their own issue.
Yeah. yeah.
So I was never really anxious about my edit.
Mm-hmm.
I actually didn't even consider that going into the show.
Wow.
I was just like manifesting the experience that I wanted, the guy that I wanted. And I literally got that.
Really?
And like it was really interesting. I was reading over my journal not long ago about my MAFS episode, like my MAFS husband, like what I really wanted. And I actually wrote in the journal, even if he's just for the experience.
Oh.
And that's literally what I got.
So you manifested
I literally
that.
Got yeah. exactly but what you know, I
it was. It was just the experience.
It was.
Yes, it was right. the experience, the growth and learning.
Because yeah.
I know you said before that you learned a lot about relationships mm. and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's what your journey was.
But crazy, like you do have to be careful with what you ask for.
Mm. Yes.
Because, and like when I do go back and reflect on my journal, I'm like, holy shit, I actually asked for that.
Mm.
You know, like, because I believe in all of that
yeah,
sort of
same.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't work, but when it does, it's like, holy shit, like, you really got to be careful mm-hmm. with what you're putting out there in, you know, on paper or like to your friends, because it will show up.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, you go.
No, I was just going to say prior to the show, obviously, you had to do all those testings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How did you mentally and personally prepare yourself to go on a reality show? Because it's, so terrifying.
Have they provided any psychological help through it and post it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, like throughout the experiment you have like a psych that you can book in
as much
as you want. Like as much as you want. Her name was Teresa. She was amazing. Yeah. I actually did not see her once.
Oh wow.
I never
needed to.
Yeah. But I know that everybody else was using her and everyone had amazing things to say about her. And even post-show, like I think even still now some cast members have
mm-hmm.
support that's paid for by Channel 9.
Yeah. You would hope so because there's a lot of trolls.
Well, and like some people have gone through some pretty gnarly times mm-hmm. since the show has aired. But before the show I had like maybe 6 different Zoom meetings with like different producers, like the directors of the show. And then they sent like a questionnaire for my doctor to ask me.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was really – and it was like really weird questions. Like I guess questions that like a psych would maybe ask you and because I haven't actually seen one in a really long time.
Yeah.
Like it was questions I hadn't been asked in ages and it really made you think.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like
– but you have a really good self-awareness.
Yeah. And so what did – so that was what they like provided you, but what did you do personally? Did you do anything to prepare?
I didn't really tell anyone.
You didn't?
No, like I told my parents and like my brother and my best friend. But because where I was working at the time had an office in Sydney, I told everyone that I was moving
Smart.
To Sydney
wow.
for work. Because I was like, and this is what I do with like my tattoos as well. And like mm-hmm. certain things that I do in my life, I don't tell anyone anything because I don't want their opinion to cloud my own decision.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of my tattoos, I just do it without people knowing.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea what it means. And I don't want to know. I don't want to show you before I do something mm-hmm. sometimes because I don't, want my opinion to change.
Oh my God, that's a really good tip for anyone listening.
Yeah, no, but like it really is.
Yeah.
And sometimes other people's opinions do cloud your own judgment.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Sarah and I, we've spoken about this
before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dating with boys.
Yeah.
Don't throw your opinion in because I want to make up the decision on him.
Well, like you know, coming up, I'm going to London, and the reason why I'm going to London, I haven't told people why yet, and it's my decision, and I don't want anyone's opinion.
Yeah,
like it's a risk I'm willing to take, you know, and that's what we kind of have to do to grow.
Yeah, yeah, you do. So, I like that. If anyone's listening, that is actually like a. If anyone's listening. Yeah. Sorry, I know you're listening.
You are listening.
Yeah, but I'm like, that is actually, if you're going to take something out, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's like a big decision about something, just sit with your own thoughts.
Yeah.
And try to make that decision by yourself and don't get like motivated, I guess, by others'
and
decisions.
It's like Sarah and I have, like, we've got quite a like open like friendship and stuff. I talk about a lot, as we all do when we've got friends, but like that's one thing that we've spoken about before, because I've been guilty of it, Sarah's been guilty of it, and you really care for what your loved ones
of course
think or say.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's hard not to take it to heart sometimes.
Yeah. I know.
You kind of have to learn to know when your opinion's needed too.
Yes.
Yes. I think it's up to you. Like, you should be able to make that decision though, you know? Yeah. Like, when I told my parents I was going on maths, I was like, so you guys know the show Married at First Sight, and you know, like, how I've been single for a really long time. And they were really supportive.
Oh, wow.
They were just like, okay.
You just go.
Like, okay. And then, you know, they kind of warmed up to it more. My brother was like, definitely not.
Wow.
He was like, no, no, no. Like,
are you close with your brother?
He's my best
friend. He's really
protective. He's like my everything. And yeah, he was like, definitely not. Like, he was one that was like, what about the edit? What about this? And I'm like, dude, what about it? Like, you know, you can't go into it thinking like that, because I also feel like the people that are really concerned about their edit will not be themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
Or
yeah,
they'll
true.
Try to be someone else.
Yeah.
And that's why when things come to air, they're not happy.
They're a different person when
that's
the cameras are on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like…
too much in their head.
Yeah. 100%. You can't go into these things with expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You can hope and manifest or whatever you might do, but you cannot go in with expectations.
Yeah.
Like, you have no idea who you're going to be paired
with.
True. You don't know what kind of girls are going to be in there. You don't know what your producer's going to be like. You don't know how living with a guy is going to be.
Yeah.
I'd never lived with a guy before. So I was like…
what was the biggest eye-opening thing of the experience?
Probably how like resilient and patient I am.
Yeah.
Like, I already did know that about me based on like my dating experiences with guys. But even more so being in such a controlled… toxic environment and not getting lost in the drama and not losing my temper and mind.
I'd have to say you were good. I did watch most of the season. I've never really watched Maths ever.
I mean, neither had I.
Really. Yeah, I actually had it. And then when I saw you were on, I was like, oh, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
So when I was home, I did watch it. And I think you just took situations so well and just like…
very calm.
Yeah. I was like proud of you. I'm like… I don't know if I could like… I don't know. You were just great.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. You didn't have to worry about the edit because you were just you.
Yeah. I was just me. And I think in those environments, like, you can… like, the people that were there for, let's just say, fame, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And wanted to be the villain.
Yeah.
Or wanted to have drama. Like… it's either you either like, you can't have that mask on, right? Your mask will come down.
Mm-hmm.
And at the start, like with some participants, it was like they were trying to be this perfect person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas I saw straight through it because I'm very good at reading people.
Yeah.
And from the get-go, like, I had my comments about this particular participant. I called it from the, from the hen's night.
Did you say anything to anyone or you just kept it to yourself?
It was all filmed, but they didn't show any of it.
Were you not close with that person at all through the experiment?
No.
Do you know what the word I was looking for?
Like, we
before?
Were amicable. Well, yeah. I was always like,
you'll
hey.
You'll never be mean to anyone.
No, I can't be bothered.
Nah.
The word that I was thinking of before, you were class.
Yeah.
Like, don't you think that's the right word? Like, you were all class. Mm. Like, I was like, damn, that's like… good. You were class.
Thank you.
You were.
Out of the experiment, you had the experts.
Mm.
What advice did you take away from them about relationships?
That might be
a little bit self-indulgent for me because I'm also single.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck can I do? Like, I know. What makes a good relationship?
I think it benefits anyone even if they're in a relationship.
Yeah, true.
Too.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with the experts, like, we were all like, are they actually experts? Like, are they just people?
Were they?
Well, I mean, they've got degrees
and
they are qualified. Like, Alessandra is an amazing sexologist.
Yes.
She was my favorite.
Yeah.
I will admit that. Like, she would come up to me off camera and always say, hey, and like, she follows me on Instagram. Like, she doesn't follow everyone. Like, she was amazing and she's really educated. The other ones, I don't really know. Like, obviously, they've got like the earbuds and sometimes you're like,
or something being fed.
Okay, yeah. Right. And obviously, like, producers, they're the ones who know, they're the ones who watch us, right? Because they film us, like, sometimes 10 hours a day, whereas the experts don't.
Yeah, true.
So the producers know what to ask us, not the experts. But in like for me, and like whenever I got on the couch with Mitch, it was always pretty short and sweet. Like, and because Mitchell made me feel like I couldn't voice my concerns, he would always like off camera say, you know, I like a really private woman. I don't want someone who can.
Yeah, so then you
like manipulated
you lost your voice.
I was, and he said that from like week one.
That's like controlling.
Yeah, and I was like, oh well, if this guy's gonna like me, I better be private. Duh, like
yeah, you
I
do
felt
crazy
shit
when you like someone,
and like he was, he was saying a lot of things to me off camera, so therefore I wasn't actually really voicing my real opinions. Hence why you would have seen at the final dinner party me blow up.
Yeah, okay.
When I cried, broke down because I just couldn't hold it in anymore.
Yeah.
And like I'd had a lot of drinking. Like, blah, blah, blah.
So you actually do drink.
Oh, yeah.
Show. Oh, that's why it's so fiery.
Dude, like one night I was like, I had to rip my mic off and go throw up because I was lit.
I always wondered that.
Because we live in our own apartments. We can be drinking before.
Oh, and that one guy was drunk, didn't he, and leave the show or something? Or I don't know. It was one episode.
I mean, there's been a few episodes where we're all like super drunk.
But,
but they haven't aired a lot of it because they can't because we're like…
Yeah.
Do they feed you the alcohol to get you a bit like…
I mean, a little bit. Mm. But like some of us, like me, I'm allergic to alcohol. Like because of my Asian genetics, like my blood pressure rises, my body swells, I get drunk really quickly, I go bright red.
Yeah.
I have like a full-on allergic reaction.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, hangovers are not a vibe.
Wow.
Like very bad. I don't really enjoy drinking that much anymore because of it. And I don't really drink that much like now. But on MAFS, because I am a lightweight, I would get very drunk very easily.
Mm.
And so a lot of the time they would get me to do my voxies earlier because they would know once Ella's red, that means that she's probably not in the best form.
Yeah.
But that's also when I would speak my mind a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why at some dinner parties you would see like I would either cry or have an opinion.
Uh-huh.
Like when Mitch and I had our first issue when he was like, oh, I fucked you already. You're on the board. It's done.
Did he say
that? I'm sorry.
Yeah. And so that dinner party, I actually had no memory of him saying that because we were so lit. And we just went home happy days that night, like woohoo. And then the next night was a commitment ceremony. And we got on the couch and then John was like, now let's talk about last night. And I was like, last night?
No way.
And we literally looked at each other. I mean, maybe he remembered at the time, but I
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
I didn't. I was like, what happened last night? And then they were like,
No.
And they cut out all the editing. But I was like, I was very drunk. We can't say that on – like they can't air that we're drunk.
Yeah.
So I was like, guys, I was like so hammered last night. We had a fight. I don't remember anything. And then I didn't see that he had said that until the show aired.
Wow.
Nobody – like I had no idea that he said that.
No way.
And were you – when the show – Ed, were you still together?
No.
Okay.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to actually ask one of my questions. Did you watch the show when it aired with everyone else?
Well, I was obviously in Melbourne by myself because everyone's in – all my mates from the show were
Were we in lockdown?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I came back I think reunion was like the 14th of Jan and then it started airing on the 31st of Jan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So reunion was only like a couple of weeks before. And then, it started airing and then Mitchell and I, that was the last time I saw him was at reunion and we were together. We were having we had the best time ever at the reunion. We like honestly had the best time. And then, I got back and it was like Valentine's Day. I went to Sydney to be with Dom and like to be with the boys, Jack Brent now, because we're all such good friends. And I was at the beach with Dom and Brent on Valentine's Day. It just happened to be a Monday. We were hungover. Paparazzi's got us. Articles came out that Brent and I were getting cozy at the beach and Mitchell blocked me.
Wait, okay. So before we're having this conversation, you told us this and I was like, that is wild.
Yeah.
But wasn't there a rumor or something came out that he was with Tamara?
Yeah, then it came out a week later that also on Valentine's Day, the same day that he was with her.
Oh my gosh.
Have you heard from him?
Yeah. So then the show went through its whole airing, right? I didn't.
And you watched the whole series?
I watched the whole thing, watched our relationship with not speaking to him once, which was really hard.
Oh my God, that's traumatic.
It was so hard because I was like, you know, our wedding was amazing. It was the most – that was my favorite day of the whole experience.
You were my favorite couple. Like, I was like, these guys are legit.
People were, like, rooting for us. Yeah. I was too. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, he might be a bit of a fucking manipulator, whatever. He's got issues. But, like, we can get there, you know? There was so much more pros than cons.
Okay, well, that's great.
And then, like, I went to Queensland off camera for, like, New Year's, met his family, his friends. We got COVID. We did all that together. And then we went to the reunion. So that was, yeah. That was when I was like, okay, I really like this guy. I was considering moving to Queensland, like hectic.
No way.
And then, yeah, it came out that he was with Tamara, but it was all like he said, she said. Like I wasn't obviously in communication with him or her. And during the show while it's airing, radio stations like choose who they want to have on their like breakfast radio. So I was probably doing like maybe 2 to 3 a week at like 5, 6 a.m. And I had to pretend like I was with Mitchell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like you can't – in the contract, I mean, look, they're pretty flexy. Like some MAFS participants got papped with like out their rings and you're meant to wear it until you leave the show. So, I mean, Mitch and I weren't together, but we had to – well, he wasn't doing media. He declined everything.
Wow.
So I was doing all of the media and
–
it was so, hard because I was like trying to navigate how to answer things and like how to like defend him and how to be like supportive of him and like.
But like deep down, you're kind of heartbroken like, a little bit because you liked him.
Oh, 100%. It was so hard.
Oh, you're better off without him. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. And like obviously Dom, Jack, Brett and Al, like we're all such good friends. We had our little group going like from the get-go. Right. We would all like hype each other up or like if someone was sad about something or it was a really hectic time, like we'd all jump on a call. Like,
great.
And I was going to Sydney every 2 weeks just to be with them.
Yeah.
I was still working full time, which was great because it gave me like structure and like routine and no one really knew who I was. And I was working in the office at that time so people couldn't come into the clinic. But when I did start working at the clinic.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It was just getting too much because I was going to try and go back. But then I was like, okay, people were booking in just to spend time with me.
Oh, yeah, no, because some people that like watch these shows get so invested.
I was going to say, how's your life been post-maths?
Yeah, it's been nuts. Like,
good nuts, crazy nuts, you want your normalcy back?
A bit of everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, if you guys are thinking about going on to any kind of reality show, you have no idea how it's going to be on the other end.
Yeah.
Like, if someone told me that I would be where I am today, even sitting here right now on this podcast with you, like that's so bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Because I met you at the Skin Boutique as a client.
Like your life is literally flipped.
Like it's, you know, you can't plan this shit.
Yeah.
Right. And like having the podcast with Dom, like that's been so much fun. But look, I'll be honest, I definitely have my days where I'm like, I miss my old job.
Yeah.
I miss my clients. I miss just being that person that could give all these people like advice and just like not talk about me. But now it's like, you know.
Do you feel like people have like, I don't know if this is like a question I'm going to ask it, but do you feel like people now have like come to you and are kind of using you for your profile?
Yeah. Like it's, I'm going to be honest, dating is harder.
Yeah. Because I was going to say that is a hard thing. Once you're dating in like the public eye, sometimes it'd be hard thinking, oh, they're using me for who I am.
I don't think that you can really make new friends.
Yeah, fair.
Like I don't think that you can. Like it's either you make friends with people who are already in this sort of area because they
get it.
They get it. Yep. You know, they get the lifestyle. They get the on, what we were talking about before, like being on, they just get it. And it's hard to make new friends.
Yeah.
And
it's a even funny with guys. Industry. Yeah. Yeah.
Like guys have DM'd me. I did go on a date with one blue tick. I was having this conversation with my friend the other day. I'm
blue
tick
only.
A blue tick guy.
That's what Kristen Cavalieri has been doing, going out with boys, but only with the blue tick
from
a DM.
Stop. Because
then they understand. I get that. They understand your life.
Well, like I don't honestly reply to any male DMs because I get like still to this day, I get some really interesting ones.
Like, yeah,
like I even no, nah, I don't get dick pics.
My God, why do all I the get boys, dick pics?
I've had like a few, but all the boys, like from the season, like Brent, Allen, Jack, mate, they get like full soft porn. Like they get soft porn in the DMs.
Girls are like, girls are brave,
but it's like. like, are they, it's just like bizarre that girls send that. It's like, I'm sending you my body so that we catch up, or like, do you like what you see? Do you want to like have sex? It's really quite
revolting.
Bizarre.
But tell us one, can you read one message that you've got from like,
don't say their name.
No, well, I actually woke up to an email this morning.
An email?
Yeah, because.
Who emails?
Well, it's like my, it's like my management email, right? That's on my Instagram.
Oh my God. Sorry.
That's okay. I screenshot it and sent it to someone. I sent it to my best friend. Cause I was like, this is
people are wild.
Like, well, I know. I'm surprised that some guys have.
Okay, let's read it out. Let's hear it.
It's pretty long. And I do get like really weird emails. But anyway, I feel like I think I know what this is. Like, I think it's, have you guys heard of arrangements?
Oh, like a sugar daddy.
I feel like this is what it is. Okay.
Yeah, I get sugar daddy messages, but not an email like that.
Yeah.
Hello, Ella. You are very admirable, dignified, and up to scratch. And I am not quite sure if you would fancy being in a relationship with a mature and affluential man as more of an opportunity to learn profitable ideas.
Wow.
I believe your appearances possess everything anyone responsible could possibly desire and even more. How much more attractive and very sweet would that be? Green tick. Please pardon my asking. Have you ever admired an old man? Or have you ever been admired by an old man?
How old's old man?
I don't know.
I think old man's old. I'm thinking he's like,
yeah, I feel like he might be very old.
Yeah.
Before stating this humble request, please find no offense in this email and its content. Just take it as a mere proposal, which could be ignored if found unworthy of honor. Do you mind being treated and cared for gracefully and even more? Well, say no more, my dear, because this is exactly what this proposal is about. And if interested, I promise to guide you till your dreams become a reality.
Oh, wow.
Please, let's keep it very private. Let's keep this a very private arrangement.
Just put it on the podcast.
Sorry, some curious conversations.
Just send me a text via Telegram or WhatsApp. And he gave me his number.
No, Jesus. Wait, what's Telegram?
It's another communication. I use it for stocks and crypto.
Oh, so it's like black market.
It's like what's happening.
His full name is
encrypted. No way. Oh my God, it is too.
Yeah.
What? Can we Google him? Not now.
The last name.
Yeah, I know. It sounds so familiar. I feel like it's a common last name.
It's like.
But a bougie family wealth.
Like they're very wealthy, that last name.
Yeah.
But he might not be related, but it's like a legit last name.
Yeah, it's a.
I'll talk about it after the podcast.
I was going to ask you when you're reading that. I was like, what traits is Ella into in a guy?
Mm. Well, I mean, I don't have a type, right? Like, yeah. I genuinely don't. All the guys I've dated are so different. Mm. Like, older, I've dated, like, I feel like every kind of background. I've dated, you know, Indians. I've dated, my ex was Aboriginal, Maori, like, so diverse.
Yeah.
For me now and like my experiences, the looks part is just a bonus.
Yeah, I agree
like
with
that. The older guy that I was falling in love with, I was like so unattracted to him.
Unattracted.
Wow. The first like 3 dates, I'd be like to my best friend, like, no.
Really?
But I'm like, there's just something about him that like I really like, but physically, God no. Maybe we'll just be friends. But then he literally became the hottest guy.
Through
in my eyes, personality was just the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm like the luckiest girl to be seen with this guy. But in terms of looks, that's all just a bonus.
Yeah.
Personality for me is everything. And like, because I'm so open-minded, I feel like I just need someone who is open to talk about everything.
Mm.
And like, you know, even the guys that I've dated and their so-called baggage, like it wasn't baggage to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have noticed a bit of a pattern though, and I was journaling about this the other day, which is a really interesting pattern.
What's the pattern?
Can I guess?
Because I think, I think Ella's like us.
I was going to say, I think it is. You're a fixer.
You're a helper.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I am. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting. All of the guys that I've had like these situationships with or even my exes from over 10 years ago have all had substance abuse.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And
oh,
And I've wanted to fix them.
That's the same as me. So take them to not rehab, not my current partner.
Yeah.
But I'm the same. Every guy that most guys I used to date had an alcohol issue.
Yeah.
Alcohol mostly alcohol or alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
Mine's depression.
Had gone, had gone in and out of rehab, some of them, done AA, all that stuff. And I was like, I always just felt like I could help.
Yeah. Well, like my last boyfriend when we were 18, he was a meth addict.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was like full on drug addict. I never touched that, like hand on my heart, but wanted to be there for him because like he didn't have anyone else. And I was like, the only way for him to get better. I felt like that was my responsibility. And he was like amazing at the start. We were like, you know, in lust. I wouldn't say I was in love with him because we were like, you know, partying and young. My first relationship was like fairy tale love. Mm-hmm. But this relationship was just so different. And that's when I was like exposed to a lot of things, obviously dating him. In Melbourne, like Melbourne nightlife here is pretty crazy, you would say. And then dating him, I was, like I learned all about drug addiction.
Wow.
And watched it dramatically change his personality and his life and the way that he would treat people, his friends. Like I was just watching it all unfold and like watch him lose everything.
Fuck. It's a lot. So is that a red flag now when you meet someone?
Well, it's really like, I mean, the two guys I've been set up with as well. Like they had history with it.
Yeah.
The other, like the older guy, he wasn't a drug, he was in recovery, but like 5 or 6 years sober. So the other end of the stick.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that's still like
an addictive personality. Yeah.
So it's really weird. Like,
isn't that weird?
It's weird. They all have that in common. Mm. And I've never had that issue, but I've just understood it. And because I feel like I am very understanding and open-minded, like I just want to understand like what led them to that. And I'm always so intrigued to know like why are you like that?
Yeah.
You know, like what's going on?
Yeah.
But I get stuck in this place of like wanting to understand them too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then wanting to better them.
Yeah.
At least you understand the pattern now, but it's also hard to like, attracted to someone, it's like you're attracted to them. You don't know what.
But I also connect with people who have had a pretty hectic life.
Mm. Yeah, far out.
Are you a Cancerian?
I'm an Aries.
Okay, same water sign.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what are you guys?
Cancerian.
I'm a Cancerian.
Oh, my brother's a Cancerian.
Yeah. Oh, really cute.
Yeah, I love Cancerian.
Like, we're like really like sensitive,
nurturing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Homebodies, all that kind of thing.
Interesting.
So wild.
Are there any other icks when it comes to guys?
X. Oh God.
Non-negotiables.
I mean,
I've got a few, but you know, I can't even say them on the podcast.
I was listening to your podcast the other day and I actually had a laugh. I don't think you got up to this far, but Ella has the same ick as I have.
Ripped jeans.
Nah.
Feminine hands?
Hands. Sarah hates hands.
Dude. Have you seen a pair of feminine hands before?
I stopped dating a guy because of his hands.
And to be fair, this guy was such a catch. Like, and now he's married to like this really, not married, but he's got like two kids. And he's so hot and such a catch. And Sarah wanted to date. And Sarah's like, I can't, his hands.
Were they like, what were they like? Explain them.
They kind of like.
Was it the nails?
It's the nail bed and the fingers.
Oh my God. I think
you guys have dated the same guy.
I think this is the feminine hand thing that I've seen. And I've only seen like five in my life.
And he was
like
holding my hands and I was just like, bleh, vomit. It was just,
he feminine in bed?
No.
Oh.
But his hands didn't suit his personality. And that's what I found really weird. And Tal's like, oh, he's so great. I was like, I can't, his hands.
So was he really good in bed?
Yeah.
My theory might be wrong.
But also, again, depression.
Oh, yeah. Substance and depression. No, was it substance or just depression?
I've only dated one guy who was my old flame who I actually caught up with recently. I saw him during lockdown for about 3 months, like the first round of lockdown.
Feminine hands.
No, not feminine. Very, very manly hands, but mental health.
Yeah.
First guy I've ever dated with like depression and anxiety.
It's
like,
hard.
And that was, again, for me, something new to learn about.
Yeah.
So I was like, ooh, how does this work?
Yeah.
How can I fix this?
Yeah.
And there was no way I could ever fix it or try to understand these mood swings. Like, it was so interesting though. It was so interesting. But then, he was like, nah. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right.
Oh my God.
Are you looking at dating or you just like shelved it?
Honestly, it's like I was saying to you guys before, it's the first time ever, like in my adult life, that I've not been so focused on dating. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice.
Mm. I love that. I was listening to something the other day. You were on probably your podcast. Mm. And I loved you said this. And I was like, I feel like that's the journey you're on. I think yeah. you said that you were reborn.
Yeah. I feel like I love that. Yeah. I do. Like, it's like this whole new life,
yeah.
you know, in this crazy way. And even with maths, like I felt on the wedding day, I was like, I'm exactly where I'm meant to be right mm-hmm. now. Like I just, it all felt so right to me. And even now with everything that I'm doing, it still feels even more right. Mm. Like still talking to people, like still talking about real things that are going on, like still being able to give advice now on the podcast as well, which yeah. is really fun. And like our Facebook group has become like really hectic.
Yeah.
But everyone's like going there for advice and like, oh, it's so cool.
You've built a community.
Yeah. It's so amazing.
That's good because the stuff that you missed at the skin boutique, like talking yeah. to one-on-one, you're now doing, but it's just kind of digital.
It's different. Yeah.
And talking on the podcast about like, I know you had to talk about vibrators. Yeah. So like pleasuring yourself and stuff. It's yeah. still helping people, but just different.
Differently. Yeah, yeah. It's weird.
So what is next for you? What are you doing? I know, are you traveling at the moment? Like, what is happening? It's like now winter.
I know, I can't believe like when I was looking at this the other day, right? So like the show finished airing in April.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so really that's when we got our accounts back, right, in April.
Oh, what?
We got our Instagram back. Oh. So that wasn't us the whole time.
So it's only like basically 3 months.
It's only been like 3 months that I've had my Instagram and that we've done what we've done.
Oh, wow.
Literally.
Pre-maths, how many people were following you?
I had like 2,300.
And now?
I think like 600.
Yeah, I think you had 600 or 700. I looked before.
It's so yeah. fucked up.
Were you just like,
do you swear on the pod?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all the time. Like,
yeah. Like, had no idea that that was even capable of happening.
Mm.
You know, like I was looking at other MAFS participants and even the ones that got the happy, because I feel like the ones that like get happy ever after are usually the ones that do really well.
Yeah.
Because people love love, you know, like people want to see real love actually work out from such a not natural or not. Yeah. Like people want to see that shit. But like even for Dom as well, like we're both just like, how did this happen? But I think it was the friendship that people really loved. And like the supportive, like of womanhood mm-hmm, and like being there for someone and standing up for what you think is right, but in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's amazing that people loved that. And
I think that's really true because you and Dom do represent like really strong and empowered females.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. And you're both very different.
Yeah.
Like you're very like, she's very like loud, opinionative, but like straight to the point, which I love. Mm. And I love that about her.
Yeah.
Whereas you're, like I said before, class, a little bit more reserved.
We balance each other out. Yeah. We definitely do.
And you did that on the show.
Yeah. And even still now, like obviously we're business partners with the podcast. So like making decisions, talking about certain things, mm-hmm. like she'll be the go-getter and I'll be like, hang on, let's just wait and see, or like let's rethink about it or give it 24 hours. So but she's also like a doer.
Yeah.
She is a doer. Like it's in her genetics, you know, like they're that hot-headed, hungry.
Yeah, I love that.
Which is amazing because it makes me more like mm-hmm. that too. So we really do like teach each other a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, everything that's happened in such a short period of time, like we didn't even realize it's only been like 3 months that all of this stuff has happened.
Yeah, you've been quick on it.
Like jumped on it so quickly. So yeah, going to LA next week.
Amazing.
So we got invited to an event in LA, which is really cool.
Yes, it's cool.
And then we're going to be interviewing some people over in LA.
No way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That flight too, like 14 hours on that airplane is hectic. I've got this like rule on the airplane. I don't eat the food.
Okay.
Because I get bloated and stuff. But I'll always take like snacks or like protein bars stuff like that. So do you know what I take? Bondi protein bar, the Slimit bars.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Like fill you up. 150 calories. Amazing.
You only have one of them the whole flight.
One flight. It's fucked. Yeah. And then I'll just drink heaps of hot tea.
Yeah.
But I know we had one before. And what was your favorite flavor?
My favorite's the choc brownie flavor. But I also love that they're just they're so small.
I know.
You can just chuck it in your
handbag.
It's so good. I like the cookies and cream one and what you had the raspberry.
I'm raspberry.
Yeah. But it's so good because they're only 150 calories and they're just so good. But what else do you do? Are there any rituals that you have on the airplane?
Well, I've got my essential oil. Like I always rub that on my wrist. Yeah. Lavender calms me down. I read, I journal.
Are you amazing?
I get the laptop.
Do you?
Yeah, like I journal a lot.
On the plane. I like that.
Yeah.
When you journal, I'm trying to get into it, right? Okay.
How much do you write?
It really depends on what's on the mind. Like and the other night I wrote like 5 pages.
Yeah, wow.
And like what do you just write whatever comes to your head?
Literally. Yeah, like if I'm literally sitting there going like I'm writing But like even after maths and all that that experience, I was in such a shit place. I wrote like a short story to myself of like what I love about myself.
Oh, wow. That's
which was so cool. And like after I felt like, I was like, fuck him, I don't need him. Yeah. After writing it, I was just reminding me of all the things that I like about myself. And that's a really fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Could be little things that only you know, you know, and maybe that other people don't think that you have, but you know you have it. Mm. But I tend to just journal. I mean, my journals have everything, like every guy I've ever dated, the pandemic's in there, like everything, like, everything that goes on, like I put it in there.
Yeah. That's good because then what you were saying before, like sometimes you reflect and you're like, oh my God, I manifested all of this.
100%. But also your perspective changes.
Yeah.
Like I was journaling in maths, you know, the night before my wedding, honeymoon, during, all about me.
Oh, wow.
How I was feeling, final vows. When I got home and reread all of that, from the get-go, I was writing my concerns about Mitch.
Wow.
And I was right.
No way.
All of my concerns were he's just really hot and cold. He doesn't use assertive language with me. I feel like he's a fuckboy. Like even though he's convincing me that he's not, like everything that I said, I was right.
And all that stuff you mentioned before about how he would be like, oh, don't say this, don't say that. Were you writing that down too?
I was like, yeah, he's a private guy. Maybe I need to be a bit more private. You know, he says.
Because he told you that.
Yeah. He said to me like, I know why you've been single for 10 years. And I was like.
You don't
tell me.
Fuck off,
why?
Mate.
And he's like, because you're too open. You're too much.
No, don't ever.
And then I was like, oh my God, maybe I am.
Do you know what?
Fully.
Just reminded me. I heard someone, maybe you told me, someone has told me that whenever they go out on a first date, they write about the person afterwards. And after the first date, they're always right.
No. That wasn't me. We had the beautiful, this beautiful guest, Vanessa. Yeah. She's got no arms, no legs.
Yes.
The most amazing, amazing person I've ever met. So she was born. Now she's got prosthetics. Legs. Works out every day.
Wow.
She said to us when she goes on a date with a guy, she'll write everything down when she gets home about the guy, how she felt about him. Like the feelings, the emotions, and then just say they start dating like 2 months, whatever, she'll go back and look at it. It's very similar to what you did.
And is it the reasons, is it the reasons that it ended what she was already concerned about?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was.
Because that's the truth. Like if you start dating someone in that first 3 months period, if you've got uncertainty around certain things, like he's a bit flaky or he doesn't use assertive language, he's this, he's that. If you guys stop dating, those will be the reasons why it failed. You always know. You always know at the beginning.
Yeah.
You always have, like your body tells you, but you make that choice.
Yeah.
If you want to be like, okay, next, and you end it, you make that choice.
Yeah.
But then we have this fear of missing out. What if he's the one? Like, but we always know in our gut.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm going to come to you for advice right now.
Okay, let's hear it.
So I was telling you before, I've been seeing this guy.
Yes. And
wait, does he listen to the podcast? Because
no, he doesn't have social media.
Oh, great. We love that.
Oh, well, that's
a good quality.
That's
a good
thing. Great thing. But he is a bit too full on and we already have nicknamed him Stage 5 Clinger.
And how many times have you seen him?
Twice.
No, three times now.
Oh, I only know Talk twice. Every night. So
we went for a walk the other day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So three times in how long has that been?
2 weeks.
Okay. And how'd you meet him?
One of the apps.
Okay. Well, that's good that you're
on. But explain to Ella why he's a Stage 5 Clinger. What is this? What has he said to you?
So after the first date, he said, I'd already left. And he's like, oh, is it weird that I already miss you?
First date.
And then the other night,
I would have got sick straight away.
We went out and I was on the phone to Tal and I was like, oh, God, just got another message. And I read it out to Tal and it was like, I don't know what you're doing to me. Like, I've never acted like this before. I've only met you in person 3 times.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
How old is he?
Younger, 29.
Oh.
See, I would have got the extra.
Tally thinks it's the younger boy thing.
Yeah. I've dated, so I'm 34 now. My boyfriend's 31, but I had this thing that I would date a lot of younger guys. I don't know why. I was just attracted to younger guys. And it's a younger guy thing. It's because you're a little bit older and you've got your shit together. Like you know, you were busy, you do a lot of things. A lot of younger guys are attracted to that.
Or he could be just trying to say the right things to get in your pants.
True.
Yeah.
True.
And thinks that that's what you want to hear.
Yeah. And that's it. He says all the nicest stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, oh. And
they love bomb you.
Yes.
They make you fall in love real quick and then see ya.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a real thing.
I don't know.
I needed that.
Love,
I think it's too much at the moment.
If you think he's too much, then he is too much.
Yeah.
And he's probably like, there's something not genuine about it.
Yeah. Golly gosh. Anyway, so you're off to LA.
Yes, and off to LA.
You're off to Europe. And then what are you going to do? Are you working over there?
So LA is like a bit of work and pleasure. We're doing podcasting for a couple of days, seeing some friends.
Are you allowed to say the guests?
No. No, we'll wait. Okay. But it's pretty cool. It's someone who I like know pretty well.
Okay, great.
And you'll know who it is.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I probably won't.
You
Australian?
Yeah, Australian, okay, cool. But LA now.
Okay, great.
We're Australian, like
Margot Robbie.
No, definitely not.
imagine.
I wish. But it's in fashion.
Okay, like, great.
Mm-hmm. And then Italy with Dom and her mom, and we're just gonna chill, explore Love Italy. That. Dom's never been, and she's from Calabria, so we're gonna go to like, her hometown. Which would be really sick.
Oh my god, you're the best.
Yeah,
experience.
I can't wait.
Oh my god, the food.
I know.
She's in Milan now, and she's sending me all the videos, and I'm like, babe, get me there now. Yeah. And then I'm going to London.
Oh my god, Italian men, yum.
Are you going to date when you're over there?
They're very full on.
I don't think I'm going to date while I'm over there.
Yeah, really?
Maybe in London.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm going by myself. Like, I've got some things like in the pipeline for London, which will be really fun. And then London's a bit of work and pleasure.
Yeah.
Love. Bit of both. And then back.
Has MAFS been aired in the UK? Because know during lockdown, Martha's series, was it? Got
huge ratings.
Yeah, I think they got massive ratings.
Well, ours was filmed. And so did Love Island. Ours was aired in the UK. Yeah, 50% of my following is English.
Oh, wow. Because I know Love Island, so we're really good friends with Taylor Demir.
Oh,
and
yes.
Her series.
She's got heaps.
Yeah,
of
her
UK
series
followers.
Got a lot of views during lockdown.
UK.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people in England.
Oh, 100%.
Well, that's why I'm going because I'm like, all of my DMs, I'm like, I feel like they're mainly from the UK.
Really?
Because they always say love from the UK if they write me a message.
I love that.
I'm sort of like going to do a few little.
See something comes up.
Yeah, like I've got a few meetings and like stuff with brands that I'm working with here over there, which will be cool. We'll just sort of see. Like, I'm a bit like go where the wind takes you right now.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, like I'm a yes girl. Yeah, so if an opportunity shows up, I'm like,
yeah.
Could it fuck you up too much or like is there positives, you know?
Yeah, I think personally you have taken the whole reality experience amazing. Like you came out, you guys were productive and did something straight away.
Yeah.
I feel like
but that wasn't,
it's only up for
like
you.
That wasn't the plan. Like going into MAFS, I said to myself, you will put all of your energy that you have into making this work with this person.
Yeah.
And when we left the reunion, my everything was Mitch.
Yeah.
Right? Like I was going to get ready to move to Queensland and just be with him and go back to work.
Oh, wow.
But then I said to myself, if love fails, I will put all of that energy into whatever opportunity shows itself.
Mm.
And that's exactly what I've been doing. And that's why I don't have time for love right
now.
Because I'm like, I have so much
shit going on.
Energy though that I have always put into a man.
Mm-hmm.
Like once, if they're mine, like they get the best fucking girlfriend ever. Because I feel like I have so much love to give, you know, in all areas of a relationship. And if that failed, I literally said, that's all that energy is just going to go into this, whatever this is.
Yeah.
And there's so many things.
Yeah. I think I already know the answer to this, but I would say it's a no. Are you worried that this might all end?
I've definitely thought about it.
Yeah,
definitely thought about
it. But I don't think you're attached to it. From just meeting you, I don't think you're attached to it.
No,
all of this.
Like in my mind, I'm like, I mean, everything could disappear tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, it's the same as anything we do. Like,
yeah. And, you know, after MAFS and things ended with Mitchell, I was like, I do want to create something that has longevity.
Yeah.
You know, something I don't want to be doing influencing forever. To be honest, it's not fun. Like I don't get stimulated from it.
Yeah.
I'm not learning anything and I like to learn. I'm a hands-on learner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I miss about work as well because I'm so hands-on and I enjoy like diagnosing and treating and like I miss that.
Yeah.
So I do want to be able to create something that I'm going to learn from too.
Yeah.
And be educated by other mentors in areas that I'm interested in. And like now that I have this access, you know, in a way of reaching out to people who I can learn from and who actually want to give me that time now because I might have a platform. Mm. It is cool because I do actually still get to learn now.
Yeah, of course.
But in all these areas that I never imagined learning.
Wow. Have you ever listened to the podcast Call Her Daddy?
Like once.
I reckon like – because I know how you
I've
talk
heard
about
it.
Yeah, yes. How you talk amazing. About like yeah. sexual empowerment
yeah.
and all that. I can see that. Yeah. That in your
she's
like, horizon.
She's changed. I feel like she's changed a lot of females' lives.
She does yes. interviewing, right?
Yeah, yes. So she does. But she, when she first launched Call Her Daddy, it was a lot about sexual
sex.
And sexual yeah. experiences, the Gluck 9000, 6000, whatever it right. is. Yeah, like yeah. all these things for
tips
women.
Tips and tricks for
yeah,
women.
Yeah, tips and tricks so women can feel empowered when they're in the bedroom or know what they're doing and stuff. Mm. But now she's the highest paid podcaster female in the world.
Yeah.
So now she does interview because she's Spotify. So she now interviews a lot of like celebrities and stuff. But you should go back. Oh, I think they deleted all the old.
Yeah, I've never really listened.
It's a really, really good podcast.
And do you know what? I feel like that's what opened up. Tally and I never spoke about sex much before, but it's what opened up our friendship to speak about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she makes you feel comfortable.
Yeah,
and
to
like
talk about
we were
it.
Talking about before, it's like it's such a like taboo thing for females to talk about. We've actually had Chantelle Otten, the sexologist, on our podcast before. And the way
she's amazing. Yeah.
And the way that she speaks about like pleasure or pleasuring a partner, all that kind of stuff. It's so comfortable. And it makes you feel like, oh.
It's just a conversation.
I can talk about this.
Like, why does the tone have to change?
Exactly.
Where people get like, did you have sex? Like, it's like, it should just be a normal tone. And
you speak about it so openly. I'm like, that's so good.
Yeah.
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 I feel like your journey has just started, but I feel like it's just going to go up from here. So
just have to remain grounded.
Exactly. Yep. And don't let all that outside shit. Which
well,
you won't
because
you don't.
I don't.
I also listened to the episode where you were like, I don't read anything.
I don't read any articles. I don't know about anything.
So
I literally
good.
Like I
ignorance
get,
is
I get
bliss.
Them sent to me if it's about me, like by followers or by like a friend if they say something. But I don't ever type my name into Google.
Great.
I don't look for anything.
Great. Yeah. Keep it like that because exactly what you said, like ignorance is bliss.
What you don't know doesn't hurt you.
Yeah. And all those shit, they're all lies anyway.
It's all
it's
there was an article that came out that Brent and I broke up. And I was like to Brent, were we together? Like, I didn't know we were in a relationship, but apparently so.
Isn't it funny? I see shit all the time people write about my friends and I'm like, I know that's not true.
Yeah,
like,
it's
but people
bizarre.
Believe this. It's like crazy.
It is a crazy world.
Anyways, it was so good to have you on.
Yeah, this was awesome.
I know. I feel like we could have spoke like for another 2 hours.
I know.
Seriously.
Like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was so good to have you on. And I'm so excited for your little adventure and just everything that you've got coming
thank
up.
Thank you. I know. It is. It's a crazy.
It is.
It's a crazy world. It's a crazy life.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that even more now.
Yeah.
Like I already thought that, but like even again, sitting here with you doing this right now, like crazy shit.
Enjoy it. Seriously, like enjoy
roll
it.
Roll with it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yay.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.